The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
It is impossible to have victory and think bondage. It's impossible to be happy and think sadness and depression. It is impossible to be free from sin while you think that you are in bondage to sin.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
I have a question for you today, and I need you to be really honest and especially honest with yourself. Are you tired yet of that thing controlling you? You know what it is, that thing that you've tried to break away from and just haven't been able to. Well, the good news is we have help for you today. There is freedom in your future. Great stuff coming up. And we're going to kick off today's show with Joyce stopping by to answer a question from Twitter. It comes from Siobhan, and she says, "Why do I feel lonely when I am surrounded by people?"
Well, I think there's probably a few different things that it could be. First of all, maybe there's a lack of communication skills. Maybe it's someone who just really, to be honest, is just not real comfortable being around a lot of people. That's usually rooted in not feeling good about yourself. So if you don't feel good about yourself, then you're gonna, even without knowing it, you're gonna think other people don't feel very good about you either. And so if you're rejecting yourself, you're gonna be afraid that other people will reject you. I read a statement one time that I thought was really good. Most people spend more time in relationships trying to make sure they don't get rejected than they spend trying to build good, healthy relationships.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we are pretty concerned about how people are gonna treat us. And so sometimes if there's a fear that you won't be treated right, then you really just won't enter in. So that's one thing. So that would be an insecurity issue. Another thing I think is if you just feel that you really are misunderstood. I think for a long time in my life, I mean, I had a pretty unique personality because I'd been abused in my childhood and I didn't know. I didn't know that I was acting unusual, you know. And like maybe part of it for me would have been maybe I was a little standoffish, you know, or just different things that people see in us that they don't understand. And then, you know, if people are like, well, why do you act like that? Or what's wrong with you? We can feel that nobody really gets us and understands us. And I think nobody really understands what anybody's going through totally except Jesus. You know, like my job could look like it's like, oh, amazing, you know, if I could do that. But there's parts about my job that nobody understands but Jesus.
Right.
And I've tried explaining it to people sometimes and they're not going to get that. And so it's really going to Jesus for that understanding. I love Hebrews 4, that we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses and our infirmities. And then I guess the last thing I would say is that, you know, the Bible says we are to be rooted and grounded in God's love and rooted and grounded in Christ. So if a person doesn't have a really tight, good relationship with God, they could feel lonely no matter where they're at or what they're doing. Somebody said to me, it was actually one of my daughters, sometime last year we were talking about a particular issue and situation, and she said, "You're really comfortable with God now, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. I'm really comfortable with God." But for a long time, I wasn't. You know, I always thought I had to be this, I had to be that, I got to do this, I got to do that. And when our relationship with God is right, and what He wants it to be, then you can pretty much get comfortable everywhere that you're at.
Yeah.
Because He is our home. And you know, I think that sometimes if you're comfortable in Him and knowing Him, then no matter where you're at, you can still be comfortable. I guess the last thing I would say to whoever wrote this question in and anybody else that's interested in this answer is I think that we want to be very careful when we're in a crowd of people that we're not overly focused on ourselves. You know, the best way to make friends is to be interested in them.
Yeah.
My son is around a lot of different people that he doesn't know and that he needs to develop a relationship with. And he said, I've found that all you need to do is ask people to talk about themselves and you're going to fit right in. And that's true. So I would just say, don't be so focused on how you feel and who's not talking to you or who's not paying attention to you or, you know, just be there for other people.
Yeah.
Instead of being so concerned about how I'm feeling, just be there for other people. Be there to reach out to other people.
Those are great answers, great solutions, and really practical things for all of us to do. And realizing that it all really comes down to our relationship with Christ that fills the need in our life. It's not going to be the other people around
That's
us.
That's exactly right. Amen.
All right, Siobhan, remember, you are so worth loving. Focus on others and get comfortable with Christ because He understands everything about you. And prayerfully, those steps will help you and everyone else who's dealing with loneliness. If you have a question and you would love to hear Joyce address it, let us know. Twitter, hashtag AskJoyce, the Everyday Answers page on our website. We definitely want to hear from you always. So now let's check out your voice. We asked you to share what God has healed you from in your life. And here's a response from Barry. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's worth it. So stay with us. God has healed me from abuse throughout my childhood. For a long time, I did not even connect with being abused. It was like my brain completely disconnected from the things that had happened to me from a young child to a teen. Once I had my daughter at age 24, it hit me almost all of a sudden. It was as if God was telling me, it's time to close this wound. It was difficult to get through the thoughts and memories of my abuse, but talking about it released the emotions and lifted the weight of my heart. And it caused me to become more of who God created me to be and gave me such confidence in my identity in Christ. That is beautiful, and it's something that so many people have experienced. And you know, if God has done that for Barry and God has done that for Joyce, God can do that for you too. Today we are asking you to encourage some other people on social media by describing the practical steps that you have taken to experience freedom from any type of a bondage. Use Facebook, use Twitter, hashtag EA for Everyday Answers. You know, one of Joyce's foundational teachings is about how our thinking affects every aspect of our lives. And today she's going to focus on overcoming those bondages. Here is a question from social media. Thomas says, "Hi Joyce, I've been struggling with a porn addiction for years, and with God's help, what can I do to stop it?" Well, here's Joyce to answer the question, "Can you help me find freedom?"
You absolutely can think your way out of bondage and think your way into freedom if you learn to think the way that God wants you to think. It is impossible to have victory and think bondage. It's impossible to be happy and think sadness and depression. It is impossible to be free from sin while you think that you are in bondage to sin. There's a great example of this found in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 2, Paul said, "How can you live in sin when you're dead to sin?" The Bible tells us that when Christ died, we died in Him. That He took sin to the cross, and that we are dead to sin and alive to righteousness. You know what that means? There's a part of you, the born-again part of you, does not want anything to do with sin. It's dead to sin. That's why now, when you sin, it bothers you. Before you were born again, didn't bother you. You didn't care. You loved it. You enjoyed it. But once you get born again, now you have a new set of problems because you cannot comfortably sin anymore. It makes you miserable. So there's a part of you that doesn't want to sin. However, you're still carrying around the flesh, an unrenewed mind, wild, out of control emotions, and a stubborn will that has to be worked on by God and the Holy Spirit. That actually is our wilderness. Our soul, until it's renewed by the Word of God, is our wilderness. We have to learn how to let God, who is in our spirit, invade
our soul. He doesn't want to just live in this little place in the spirit. He wants to get out into your mind, into your emotions, into your will, into your finances, into your relationships, into your entertainment, and he wants to finally be seen through you as a bright shining light so the world can say, that person's got something that I want. Come on, somebody give God praise. So Romans 6:2 says we're dead to sin, but then Romans 6:11 says, even so now, consider yourself dead from sin and alive to righteousness. I love that because the word consider is a process of your mind. So you might as well say that in Romans 6:2 it says you're dead to sin, but then Romans 6:11 it says, so now think that you're dead to sin. Believe that you're dead to sin. So we'll say, I'm dead to sin, and sing songs about being free in Christ, but then we're afraid of sin. We say we're addicted. We're this, we're that. I can't get over this. This is too hard. I can't overcome that. So we stay trapped in that wilderness area. We have to begin to think like God thinks and say what God says, and that's going to help us fast track through the wilderness and begin to live in the promises of God. You can control your thinking with God's help, a lot of help from the Holy Spirit, a lot of leaning on the Holy Spirit. You can control your thinking, but not until you learn to actually take an inventory of your thoughts, and I call it thinking about what you're thinking about. Where the mind goes, the man follows. If you don't like your life, go home, have a meeting with yourself, and think about what you have been thinking about. Instead of blaming it on everything else, have a meeting with yourself and just ask yourself if it's time for you to get rid of your stinking thinking. Amen. Set your mind and keep it set on right things. Two of the most popular scriptures, I guess, that we use when we teach on the mind is 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, reasons, and theories. Taking every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. So we know there's a battle in our mind. Wrong thoughts, reasons, theories that don't agree with the Word of God. And the Bible gives us the responsibility of locating them and casting them down. Now, it's really not our responsibility by ourselves, because when you start leaning on the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is just say, God, I'm asking you to start making me aware when I'm thinking wrong thoughts. Just pray. God, make me aware every time I'm thinking wrong thoughts. Don't let me just sit around and think stupid stuff. Make me aware when I'm thinking bad thoughts. And so as you begin to pray like that, you'll begin to realize, well, I don't need to be thinking that. I shouldn't be thinking that. That's not in line with the Word of God. And the way those strongholds in our mind is torn down is by being a diligent student of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, completely changed by the entire renewal of your mind, so you can prove for yourselves what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Jeremiah 4:14, how long shall your grossly offensive thoughts lodge within you? If you know God's dealing with you about a bad attitude, then deal with it. If you know God's dealing with you about unforgiveness in your heart, then deal with it. Don't make some silly excuse about how hard it is to forgive people. I'll tell you what's hard, hating people. That is much harder than forgiving people. Forgiveness is easy compared to hatred and bitterness and resentment and being full of that poison all the time. If God is dealing with you about a habit that you have that is a destructive habit, if God is putting his finger on it, then you do not have to even think that you can't do it, because God is never going to deal with you about something without giving you the ability to go all the way through to victory. But you got to believe it. I was sexually abused by my dad for many years, and when I walked away from his home, I thought I walked away from the problem. Little did I know that I had the problem with me etched in my soul. It was in my mind, it was in my emotions, it was in my will, and it affected every relationship that I had, my relationship with God, my relationship with me, and my relationship with other people. Your secrets will make you sick.
And when God begins to say it's time to deal with things, then it's time to deal with things. Well, my first marriage was a nightmare. I married a guy that had as many problems as I did, if not more, and he ran around with other women and was a petty thief and a con man. And so that never worked out. 5 years of that nightmare, had one child, and finally ended up getting a divorce. He went to prison and met Dave, who was born again, a Holy Ghost-filled Lutheran young man. I told you last night, wanting a wife, praying for a wife. He was dating three women. He was trying to he was trying to possess the land. He had a he could see it with the eye of faith, and he was going out to take it, let me tell you. So and he knew none of the three he was dating was right, and so he saw me washing my mother's car outside my house. Thought I was cute, had on short shorts, my hair piled on top of my head. Probably smoking my cigarette and drinking my beer or whatever. And he said, "Hey, you want to wash my car when you're finished with that one?" I said, "If you want your car washed, buddy, wash it yourself." And he said the thing that came to him was, "That's the girl for me." Now, he was obviously either demented or he was being led by the Spirit of God. David, I only had five dates and got married. I mean, he had to move fast before he figured out what he was getting. So we got married. About 3 weeks later, Dave looked at me and said, "What is wrong with you?" Well, see, I didn't know I had a problem. I thought everybody else was the problem. I didn't know I had a problem. And maybe that's your problem, that you don't know that you're the problem. I see you watching through that TV screen. I said, maybe that's your problem, that you don't know that you're the problem. You thought I was just talking to all these pretty people here in this conference, but I'm not. I'm talking to you. Matter of fact, I'm doing this whole thing mainly for you. Gotcha. You don't just get to lay there in your bed with your remote in your hand, and don't you try to flip the channel either, because I'll be on another channel. You can't get away from me in the morning. If you're going to watch TV, you're going to find me. And so, I didn't know I had all these problems. Well, Dave and I went to church. You know, he loved God. I loved God. I believed in Jesus. I was born again. But I wasn't dealing with my issues. So one night, Dave and I went to a church service, and there was a woman there giving a testimony who had been sexually abused by her father. Her story was so closely linked to mine that it was scary. She kind of handled her problems in a different way than I did. She went on to become a prostitute and had a whole lot of problems, and then she met a godly man and talked about how God dealt with her and how she'd been healed. Well, she'd written a book, and Dave bought me the book, because by now he knew that I'd been abused. I shared with him what had happened to me, and he gave me the book, and the next morning I opened the book up and I started to read her story, and what as she explained the things her father had done to her, they were precisely what my dad had done to me. And I felt pain come roaring through my soul, because you see, I had all that stuff neatly shut off behind closed doors, and I wasn't dealing with it. And I threw the book across the room, and I said, "I am not going to read this book." And I heard the Holy Ghost say, so sweetly but so strongly, "It's time. It's time." And maybe God would speak that to some of you tonight, or some of you watching by TV or listening by a CD later on. It's time. It's time to stop going around and around and around the same mountains, blaming somebody else for all your problems, looking back at your past all the time with no positive vision for the future. Let me tell you again that no matter what has happened to you in your past, no matter what is going on in your life right now, it does not have the power to keep you from having a great life if you will have a positive vision for your future. Deuteronomy 30:11. For this commandment which I command you this day is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. Right here, chapter 18. This commandment which I command you is not too hard for you. Can you say tonight, anything that God asks me to do, I can do it? See, some of you wouldn't even bother to say it. Everybody say, anything God asks me to do, I can do it. Nothing's too hard with God. All things are possible with God. God is on my side. I don't have to be afraid of problems. I don't have to be afraid of trials. I don't have to be afraid of things that surprise at noonday. I'm equipped with the Holy Ghost and power, and whatever comes my way today, I can do it through Jesus Christ. And that's not a bunch of cheerleader hype. What that is getting a right mindset early in the morning. It's preparing yourself mentally to believe that whatever happens to you, you can handle it through Christ. You don't have to get them thinking, I sure hope I don't have any problems today because I just can't handle one more thing today. Well, then get ready because you're going to get one more thing or two or three, and it's going to put you over the edge, and you're going to act bad, and then you're going to feel guilty tomorrow, and it's all because you didn't prepare your mind ahead of time to believe what the Word says, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to have a bulldog tenacity attitude. And you have to be the kind of person that in difficulties just refuses to give up. Handel, the great musician, lost his health. His right side was paralyzed. His money was gone. His creditors seized him and threatened to put him in prison. He was so disheartened by his tragic experience that he almost gave up. But his faith prevailed, and after that he composed his greatest work, the Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah. You know, the song you just feel like you've gone to heaven when you hear that sung by a big choir. What if he would have given up? If he would have given up, we wouldn't have that today. Some of your greatest works are yet to come if you won't give up. I said some of your greatest works are yet to come. Some of your greatest days are yet to come. But the devil whispers in your ear, tries to put a wrong thought in your mind. This is never going to change. This is not going to change. This has been going on 20 years. It ain't going to change. You might as well forget it. Nothing good's ever going to happen to you. That's when you just need to say, I'm not giving up. Learn how to say, I am not giving up. You really have nothing else to do other than press on. What else are you going to do? Isaiah 1:5, I love this, says the whole head is sick and the heart is faint. In other words, what's he saying? The thinking is wrong and it causes us to faint and give up. When our thinking is wrong, then we give up. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't quit and give up. If you don't quit and give up. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. We're all familiar with it if you've heard much of the Bible. God never faints nor grows weary. He never gets tired. But even young men will faint and stumble. And I'm probably not keeping up with the prompter here, but even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected men shall fall feebly, stumble, and fall exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord. That's what you're doing here tonight. You're here to wait upon the Lord. And you're going to stick around and spend another 30 minutes worshiping God.
Man, you're going to go home so strong. Thank God you're not going to have a hangover in the morning because you stayed in the bar and got drunk all night. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank God you're not going to be hopeless in the morning. You're going to be full of fire. You're going to be full of hope. You're going to say, I got a vision for my future. Life's not too hard. I'm going to deal with stuff. I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to give up. We need to encourage one another in the Lord. That's what's happening here tonight. The room is full of hope. You can just reach out and grab it and say, it's for me. Life is not too hard.
Well, you can't get much better news than that. That hopelessness that maybe you have just been overwhelmed by can be gone starting today. And this is a book that God has used in so many people's lives to help them find the freedom that they need. It's Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce. And when you talk about things that hold you back, those things that keep you from freedom, whether it's a physical addiction or it's a mindset, something that you, a thought that you just can't break away from, it's all addressed in this book, what God's Word says about how to fight those things. This book is full of very practical application, but with this offer that we have for you today, you also get the study guide. So you're going to work through this and answer questions and delve into your own life and see what the Bible says about how to change all that. And it will help bring the Holy Spirit's work into the forefront of your life. It will help you break those things that are holding you back and will help you find freedom. So order these today. You'll get both of these books. You'll even get a pen that matches it to go with it. So you're going to want to check this out. Do it right now. Today is the day that you can find freedom. And as you do that, take a look at what is coming up next week on Everyday Answers.
There's a faith that's so much greater than believing for something, and it's a faith that believes in someone, and especially when you don't get the thing that you're expecting to get.
If you have a question for Joyce, as you hopefully know by now, anytime, we love for you to contact us. Do it on social media, on our Facebook page, on Twitter using hashtag AskJoyce. We're always looking for those questions on our website, joycemeyer.org. And if you're in the Atlanta area next week or you just want to head that direction, stop by and see Joyce. She'll be there. Go to our website for all of the details. We love you so much, and most importantly, God loves you even more than you can imagine, and He is excited about this new breakthrough that you are about to experience. He's going to walk through every bit of it right with you.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.